Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled Philippians. The scripture reading is Philippians 3:10 to 12. Thank you to Earl, Paul, Janet, and Dawn for being involved in the video. We'd like to wish happy birthday to Kathy, Joanne, Ruth, Mary, and Dorothy.
Good morning. Wish to welcome everyone here and a beautiful day. Have some announcements to begin with. Plant sale. The Lincoln Garden Club, and it's cash only, and the date on that is Saturday, May 6th, South Service Road in Vineland. Rock and roll at the diner. Night of 50s, 60s music, raising some money for the Great Lakes Parent Council, and cash only, $10, and you can see the $4 to $12, $5, etc. Great Lakes beginning at 5:30 p.m. May 6th. We're starting to plan as to whether Wednesday evenings would be something that the congregation wants to bring back. And so there is a survey in your mailbox. And if you could please complete that, give it to the elders. You can put it in our mailboxes. That would be fine. One further announcement is that we continue to pray for the health of Diane's neighbor, Reen, and remember her. So anyway, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity of being together this morning as your children. We pray that you will help us to focus on the things that we participate in this morning, the singing of songs that point our minds towards you and the sacrifice of Jesus. As Dawn brings us a message this morning, we pray that you will help us to find application in our own lives and help us to use the message and the encouragement that we receive from one another this morning as we go forth this week. We pray that you will bless us to this end in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello. Some of you know I spent 8 years-ish at West, where it's still winter. I just noticed that they had a 12 inches dumped on them recently. So I can complain about our winters here, but it's wonderful. It's really wonderful. One of the things that we did out there was, which was new to me, we partnered with a local church in WODA, and we had Good Friday services that we did at Moose Mountain. And it was a growing experience for us, because you may or may not know, in our tradition, we don't tend to have Good Friday services. Some do, like here. But and one of the things that the other church did was they had communion. At the Good Friday service. Again, growth experience for us. That wasn't part of the way we normally did things. But one of the things that was a growing experience for me personally was working with the other minister. The message we delivered, he was big on saying, well, Good Friday is for the cross. Easter Sunday is for the resurrection. So on Good Friday, we talk about the cross. We don't go to the resurrection. That's Easter Sunday. That was a growing experience for me, right? Sitting down and writing a message and going, but I really want to jump to Sunday. It's really convenient to jump to Sunday. And it forced me to think about the sacrifice on the cross in a new way, in a way that helped it stand on its own. So one of the things that I discovered is that there is love, beauty, and even victory in the sacrifice on the cross. The idea of sacrifice for others is well established in the movies, in the TV shows, but the thing that makes it surprising in this case, I think, is primarily two things. Jesus went to the cross before there was any guarantee anyone would be saved. So in the movies, you've got the superhero, blah, blah, blah. He's saving this group of people. They're right there. They're definitely going to be saved. In this case, Jesus went to the cross not because there was a group of people staying there that he knew 100% would be saved by this action. He rather went to the cross so that we could have a choice to be saved, that we could choose that option. The sacrifice was made so that we might be able to hear the gospel. The gospel wouldn't exist without the sacrifice. Our understanding of being potentially a part of God's family wouldn't exist without the sacrifice. The other thing that makes it surprising to me is the sacrifice was made for me personally. It's also made for you. It's also made for everyone living in all of time. But it's also made for me personally. I was talking with somebody the other day, some of the ways in which it's hard for us humans to understand the divineness of God and the ways, the things that are true that we just don't have an ability to comprehend. And one of them, I think, is the idea that God can personally, individually care about every single human being in all of time to the same level. That's just impossible for us humans to do, but God can. And so that sacrifice was made targeted at me, Paul Moore. And he cared about me, Paul Moore, for Jesus to go to the cross. Not for the whole world as a collective, although that is also true, but also for me individually. And that to me is surprising about that fact. It is at the cross where God's love to me, and I would argue to you, shines the most through. Without it, I am condemned in my sins. I have no hope. But with it, I am a child of God, and I'm included in his house. But only if I say yes to the choice that Jesus gave me on that cross. So today, as we partake of the emblems that help us remind us of that cross and the sacrifice that was made there, I encourage you to think about the sacrifice that was made, the love that shines through, and hopefully, prayerfully, and I would argue, I beg of you to make that choice, that the victory that comes to your life through it. Pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you for all you've given us and all you've blessed us with. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. We are blessed to have life, to have every second. We are blessed even more to be children of yours, to have life abundantly through you. Lord, as we partake of these emblems that help us to be reminded of the sacrifice that your Son made, help us to do so in a worthy manner. Help us to do so thoughtfully with our minds and our hearts open to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our reading this morning is from Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 to 12. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being with us today. I have the distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure of sharing one of the most optimistic books in the entire Bible, and that is the book of Philippians. The word joy is listed 16 times in this very brief book. So it's a book of really staying close to God. In fact, when Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he says, "For we are God's fellow workers. We are God's field. We are God's building." And Paul, when he writes to the church at Philippi, is pretty much saying the same thing, that we are all anointed with the oil of joy. And so it's a very brief book, some four chapters, and I'd like you to just follow along with me if you want. If you have a Bible, you might just want to follow along. In Philippians chapter 1, in verse 3, again, very optimistic thoughts. Paul says this, I thank my God every time I remember you. And I've often thought, even all ourselves, many of our family Christians who've passed away over the years, how many of you still remember them and think of them? I think we all do. Every once in a while, a comment will be made, oh, yeah. And we remember times being in their homes, enjoying conversations with one another, laughing with one another, knowing that we will be together again. And so Paul, on his journeys, he's never sure if he's going to make it to the next place. He's thrown in prison so many times, he just doesn't know really what's going to happen. But he said, as long as it advances the gospel, I'm okay with it. Even if it means my life, I'm okay with it. And eventually it did take his life, and he was okay with it. Away from the body, present with the Lord. So he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. From the first day until now, being confident of this, that all of us who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion. How many of us know that as long as we live, we're going to be faithful to Jesus? Raise of hands. You're in the church, so you have to raise your hand. It's one of those joys. It's a privilege. It's an honor that the very God who created Adam and Eve created us. God knew us before we were born. He knew the exact time and places in which we would live. And he gives us this life, even with challenges, even with troubles, to understand the joy we have in Christ Jesus. And then he says this in verse 12. Paul has been thrown into prison so many times, and he says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what's happened to me was really served the gospel, to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. So even the jailers who were told to throw Paul and Silas and other people into prison, they're witnessing it. They're understanding that this man, Paul or Silas, whoever, that they would give their life completely and totally and fully to Jesus, no matter what, even if it meant their life. So in verse 14, it says, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. And he says, some preach the gospel for rivalry, but others out of goodness. No worries, as long as the gospel is preached. And so he says, yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know through your prayers and the help given by the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ that what's happened to me will turn out for my own deliverance. And that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to leave the jail. It might mean that if he dies, he's going to be with the Lord anyway. And if he's let out, he's going to preach Jesus anyway. Verse 20, I eagerly expect and hope that I will no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's the promise of God. Optimistic look at life over and over. Then he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And then Paul says, I'm torn between the two. I desire to part from this earth and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body, that I preach, that I encourage you, Paul says, convinced of all this, and I know that I will remain, I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. And that's important. As Christians, we want to continually grow, and we want to continually grow with faith, and we want to continually grow with faith and joy. Joy is optimistic. Joy is contagious. Why are you so happy, even though these negative things happened in your life? Because God is with me. He knew the exact time and places I would live, and I'm not giving up on him because he's not giving up on me. And I think all of us can say the same thing. So Paul says, so that through my being with you again, joy in Christ Jesus will overflow. He said, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a worthy manner of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear you in my absence, I will know that you're standing firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. And I think all of us know of preachers and members of churches in all parts of the world where when you think of them, you smile. You just can't help it. These are people that have helped us. These are people who share optimistic thoughts. These are people who have great joy in the Lord, even though there's been many, many challenges, and we can think of them, and we can be so grateful for them. And so in Philippians chapter 2, and some of you may remember this, but years ago at Great Lakes, and I don't know if they still do this or not, there would be a memorization of a scripture, sometimes a lengthy scripture, and you would stand up in front of the whole audience that were there, kind of knees knocking, and you would recite. So you would memorize various scriptures, old or new. And by far, Philippians chapter 2 was the one that was most used. Listen to these words. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then he says, how's your attitude? Your attitude should be the same as that of, somebody help me, Christ Jesus. Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. Wow. And part of Jesus was joy, anointed with joy. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and he became obedient to death, even death on the cross. God knew, and Jesus knew, what he was expected to do. But therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Listen, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Won't it be amazing that one day when we stand face to face with God with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and all of our loved ones, that we will be saying all together, Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Just think, seeing God's face for the first time. Think of the feelings of this wonderful God who created each one of us with his own nature. And if we've pulled away from that nature, God is always with open arms saying, come on back to me. Come on back to me. Every day, every tongue, one day, every day, one tongue confessing together, Jesus is Lord. So, I mean, what a marvelous book in the book of Philippians. And so in chapter 2, in verse 12, he's again encouraging. He says, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not just in my presence, but now much more in my absence, you need to continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. It's just a good memory to saying, if you've pulled away a little bit, if you've just kind of backed off a little bit, don't back off for too long, because God will never back out on any of us, ever. We are his children. So he says these words, not always easy. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you will shine like stars in the universe. And so he goes and talks about other people in the book. He says in verse 19, he says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. And many of us know that Timothy and Paul had a great relationship, and that he really became a teacher, Timothy, from Paul. And there was this extraordinary relationship. And so he says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I will also be cheered when I receive news about you. I don't have anybody else who like him, who has a genuine interest in your welfare, a genuine interest in each other's welfare. So, chapter 3 of this book. Finally, brothers and sisters, he says, rejoice. Of course, that's what he's going to say. But rejoice in the Lord with an exclamation point. It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again and again as a safeguard for you. Don't get caught up in a trap. Verse 2, watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. Pretty strong words. But he says, for we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of the Lord, and the glory is in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in our flesh. If anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in flesh, and here's Paul is going to talk a little bit about this now. He said, if anyone thinks that he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, Paul says, I have more. He was absolutely perfect in what he needed to do, as he thought. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to law, I was a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. What a mess. How hard it is to be perfect. And that's what Paul was trying to do. And then finally he realized, God doesn't love me because I'm trying to be perfect. God loves me because he made me. And he just wants me to know that he knows that I love you too. It's true. It doesn't matter what year you lived in, the first century or 2023. It's still true to this day. As for zeal, I do my very best. I try to do everything, he says, for the sake of Christ. And then he says, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Jesus Christ is each one of us Lord. He is our Lord. He loves us. He's given himself to us. He lives in us. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, he says. So I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, Paul says, and the fellowship of sharing with the sufferings. I don't know about you, but I do too. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. That when you close your eyes for the very last time, and then you open them, you see the face of Jesus. I want to know that Christ and the power of his resurrection. His resurrection enables us to have resurrection and to obtain the resurrection from the dead, Paul says. And then he says, I haven't got there yet. Not that I've already obtained all this or already been made perfect. No, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. I want to love him as much as he loves me. Even though I can't, I'm going to do my best. I haven't obtained all of this. But one thing I do, he says, forgetting how I lived before, forgetting behind, get all that stuff behind me, I strain toward which is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize of God who has called me and all of us heavenward in Christ Jesus. Think about these things, he says. All of us who are mature should take such a view of these things. And if on some point you think differently, that's okay. God will make it clear to you even down the road. So join with others in following the example of Christ and myself, Paul says, and take note of those who live the pattern that we have. For as I've often told you, and now say again with tears, there are people who are enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God, small g, is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. I've often wondered, traveling in several different places, and you go into a foreign country, what's your citizenship? Heaven? I'm not sure they're going to let us in. You have your photo. You have your name on it. I wish citizenship, Canadian, but really heaven. That's the mind of Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven, who by the power that enables him to bring, listen, everything under his control. Watch. He will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like Jesus' glorious body. Can you imagine? And I want to say, imagine. Think of it. These aren't just words. This is the promise of God through Jesus Christ. And Paul is helping us to remember all of that. It's a book that we should be reading over and over and over again. And so he says some really interesting things about all this. Think about all these good things. For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I'm in. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content. If in every situation, whether being well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, we can do all things through him who strengthens us. And then verse 19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. And the book is almost over, but then he says, remember, greet all the Christians you come across in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me, they're sending greetings. All the saints are sending greetings. I don't know what's happening in heaven right now, but I think there's a lot of greetings coming our way. We remember those loved ones who are now in heaven, and I think they remember us too, and that one day we will be together again. And everything will be made new. Amen.
Thank Don for his lesson this morning. Philippians certainly is an optimistic book. Anyway, I've thought about this for the last couple of months. But when Janet read this morning, I think of Diane and Gloria and Barbara, these chronologically mature ladies amongst us. But I appreciate your reading of the scripture because it comes from within. You have internalized it over many years. And I personally appreciate that. And I think those listening to these ladies and others, as they read to us, bring the scripture more poignantly to my perspective, because I understand that they live what they're reading, and I appreciate that. So I meant to say something earlier, but I'll collectively say it to you all. But of course, many good examples amongst us, and we appreciate faithfulness and ongoing service amongst each person here. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you that, as Don has reminded us, the need for us to live joyfully, to rejoice in you because of all you have done for us, especially in sending Jesus into this world, that gives us hope not only in this life, but beyond this life. And we thank you for the power of the resurrection, and we thank you for the service that we can have towards you in thankfulness, living rejoicing lives and living thankfully as we serve others, as you taught us to do. We pray that you will help us to this end this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.